Jesus. Right, we want to be living overcomers.
Amen.
Let's choose to be living overcomers.
Amen.
Person not ashamed to be a Jesus lover, one who beats the tree of life. Welcome, everyone. My name is David Liu. I will be your MC for today. And really, it's wonderful for you guys to be here. And it's really wonderful that our Lord has called us here. The one thing I really was touched by this song is actually choice. Choice. We can choose. And this is really God's choice for us, or God's decision for us today is, do we choose to be God's people? What about our heart? What about our soul? So even now, today, right here, right now, can we choose to give ourselves to the Lord? And we might be here, perhaps it wasn't our choice, maybe, to be in the meeting, but we are here now, and God is calling. And can we give ourselves to him? Can we choose to open up our heart? Can we choose to give him the ground to speak to us today? So even can we choose maybe to have your video open, right? Choose to join in, choose to participate, choose to use your spirit, to exercise your spirit, and choose to join in and sing with us. So, so let's continue singing.
Praise the Lord. We can keep singing.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to go to another song, song 10 in your song packet, The Gift of Righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the gift of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
coming up.
Amen.
And call his name, O Lord.
Find your spirit.
Amen.
And his grace has been outpoured.
Amen.
Holy name.
Taste his grace.
Exercise before his face.
Amen.
He's longing and yearning.
Amen.
He's hoping and waiting. He's ever desiring for you to turn to him.
Amen.
How about we sing this again? Brothers on one, and then the sisters, you can just enjoy the words in this song.
Amen.
And we can sing the chorus together.
Amen. And I just want to add in, when we say, why not open up and call his name, oh Lord, we can declare it, but also I feel like it's so good to, you know, the Lord is our best friend. So call his name like, Lord, as if you're calling your best friend.
Amen.
And then he's waiting for you to turn to him. Again, find someone on your screen. Waiting for you to turn to him. Waiting for you. Amen.
Amen.
Right, so why not open up and call his name, oh Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Jesus. Why not?
Amen.
Let's just call his name, oh Lord.
Oh Lord,
Lord. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Right. Our Almighty God has a need, and He can't choose for us, but He has a need for us to call on His name, to open to Him. So that is our choice. That is our decision that we can make today to make Him happy and even to make us happy. So why not open up and call Lord Jesus?
Amen. Yes, why not? You know what's great about being on Zoom is during the message, you're muted. And so at any point, you can just, oh Lord, you hear a word, oh Lord. I do that a lot. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to our last song tonight. And we're going to sing a song that's not in your song packet. It's a little bit of an older song, but it's so sweet. It's called God is Love.
Amen.
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 Let's sing this one more time.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So really, Lord Jesus, really touch the words and really maybe open to the Lord to see actually beyond anything else, first and foremost, He loved us.
Amen.
We may not love Him in the beginning. We may not have heart or to love Him all the time, but He always loved us. So may we sing this song with this thought and with even a little opening to the Lord to just sense how much He loves us.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you died for me. Lord, you hung from a tree. Father, you
back to the brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God loved us. So welcome, everyone. Again, my name is David Liu from the church in Philadelphia. And I hope you guys are all, well, you guys are all here today, but I hope you guys made it from this afternoon, right? When there was such a picture painted that was kind of used a black background or sometimes just a black ground, right? And it's such a devastating situation that we were in, but I hope you guys are all here today and you guys all stuck around, because today, this tonight, we will hear such a message of how God loved us, right? Of how he turned us from going in that direction that was downhill, right? From the kingdom of Satan, and how he was able to turn us to the kingdom of God. And how it was through his love, through his righteousness, that he saved us, that he brought us up, and now that we could be in the kingdom of God. So it is such a wonderful thing for us to hear, and hopefully, as was mentioned, we really choose to open up to the Lord. And really, we hope to open up to him, to really receive also even the speaking from the brothers, from God himself, to hear how much he really loves us. And so, may we all do one thing together? Can we actually all declare together, God loves me? Right? So, one, two, three. God loves me. Amen. You know, often we say, I love God, but how often do we declare affirmatively that Jesus loves me? So one more time, we could unmute everyone and we could just shout and we could declare ecstatically that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves us.
Jesus
loves me. God is love. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now I think I will turn it over to David, who will take us away and tell us how much God loves us.
Amen, saints. My name is David Huang. I'm from the church in Boston, and I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. The brothers this afternoon painted a touching picture of man's condition after the fall. Man is objectively under God's judgment, and subjectively full of sin. But brothers and sisters, hallelujah, tonight we are going to share with you the good news. The good news comes in two phrases. The first phrase is God's love, which is the source of his salvation. God is a God of love, and this has motivated him to save man. At the same time tonight, we will see God's righteousness, which is the basis of his salvation. This same righteousness, which forces God to condemn man because of the fall, we will see that this also causes God to save man through his righteousness. When God's love intersects with God's righteousness at the cross of Christ, we have a wonderful and marvelous salvation. So tonight, I will share regarding God's love, and Brother Pablo will share regarding God's righteousness and the intersection of the two. So regarding God's love is the source. What is a source of salvation? Well, a source is something that motivates God or that compels God to want to save man. You know, after man fell, God could have easily just given up on man. He could have said, man, you fell, you're broken, you're not useful to me anymore. I just give up. I'll let you go. But God could not do that because God is a God of love. There are three points I would like to make with you tonight regarding God as love. The first point is simple. Please write this down. Please write this down, young people. God is love. God is love. Brothers, can you please show the first verse? I'll read to you. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love has not known God, because God is love. Thank you, brothers. It does not only say that God is loving, that God loves, and that God is full of love, but God is love itself. Love is the nature of God's essence. Just as this cup, you touch this cup, it's plastic. You can tell it's plastic. You touch this cork, you can tell it's cork. Well, when you touch God, either purposefully or even inadvertently, what you touch is love. What you will receive is love, because love is God's substance. Brothers and sisters, not only God loves, but God is love itself. In this universe, there is only one thing that is love itself, and that is God. Hallelujah, God is love. But not only God is love, this love has an object. It has a direction. It has a focus. And what is God's object of his love? Well, it's man. God loves man. And we'll see God loves me. Brothers, can you please show this next set of verses? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes into him would not perish, but would have eternal life." Brothers and sisters, God loved the world. The world here is all the people on the earth. God loved the world, and he gave his only Son because of this love. In Ephesians 2:4, it shows us that God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He loved the world, and he had a great love toward us. Thank you, brothers. We have to see that God's heart is full of love towards man. But sometimes we feel, or sometimes the world may feel, God is not really a loving God. Maybe we think, or people think, that God is a cruel God or a fierce God, or maybe that God just doesn't care. God just ignores man. Well, we have to see, why does man feel this way? Why does man have these thoughts? Well, actually, it is Satan's ploy to cause us to think this about God. You know, the brothers mentioned earlier today, Genesis 3, when Satan came to deceive man. Do you remember what he said? He asked Eve, "Did God really say, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden, of any tree in the garden?" And Eve said, "Well, God said, I can eat of any tree except the tree in the middle of the garden, because in the day I eat of it, I shall surely die." And what the enemy, disguised as the serpent, said is, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So paraphrasing, Satan was really saying, actually, God is hiding something from you. God doesn't really love you. He doesn't want the best for you. He's actually withholding something from you. He doesn't really care about you that much. In the very beginning, the enemy, this is the first time we see the enemy at work. And in the Bible, there's a principle. The first time something is mentioned, it gives the principle for that thing for the whole Bible. Well, the first time we see the enemy, he is trying to cause man to doubt God's heart towards man. So brothers and sisters, let us be watchful. Let us be aware of Satan's attack. He has blinded the world to make people think God is a cruel God or God is a God that doesn't care about man. But brothers and sisters, God is a God that loves man. God is a God that pours out his heart. He pours out everything because he loves us. Well, there's another view of God loving man, and that is that God not only loves man in general, but God loves me. God loves you as an individual person. God loves each and every one of you. And I like this illustration in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, there's a parable with a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And there's another part in the Bible that talks about the Lord being a shepherd, John chapter 10. And in this, I'm going to mix a few of these verses together. But in John chapter 10, verse 3, it says that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. So let's go back to Luke 15. There's a shepherd there that has 100 sheep. Can you imagine that a shepherd with 100 sheep? He knows each of the sheep by name. How could you even tell 100 sheep apart? I couldn't even do that. And how can you even think of 100 names for sheep? I don't even know what you would call them differently. But there's a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and he knows them by name. And he realizes that one of them is missing. How would this shepherd realize this? Was he counting? I don't know how you would count. They all look the same. Maybe he was out there, and he knew the sheep so well that he can just tell one of the sheep is missing, and he knew which one by name. Well, in Luke 15, it says that he leaves the 99 behind in the wilderness, and he goes after, I love this term, he goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. Brothers and sisters, we are like that one lost sheep. God may have 99 righteous persons, maybe 999, maybe 99,000. Maybe 99 million, and we are the only ones who are lost. Well, what would God do? I do believe in that case, he would put the 99 million aside, and he would search out after us and go out after us until he's found us. Well, what does he do? This shepherd, he finds the sheep. He places the sheep on his shoulders, rejoicing, and he comes back, and he comes to his house. And he calls his friends and his neighbors. You know, I don't know, he probably doesn't text them because he doesn't have texting. He calls the whole village. Oh, come. What happened? What happened? He said, I found my lost sheep. And they're like, what? A lost sheep? Well, this was how precious that one lost sheep was to that shepherd. Brothers and sisters, this is God's view for us. Not only does God love the world, not only does God love us, he loves you individually. You know, the Apostle Paul saw this. The Apostle Paul had not such a good beginning. He persecuted the Christians. And he wrote those verses in Ephesians. He wrote verses in Titus that says that God loves man. But then in Galatians 2:20, he says he is crucified with Christ. It's Christ who lives in me. And then he says he has faith in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Many times Paul says he loves us. In this case, he says he loved me. Paul realized that he was that one lost sheep and that God loved him. So brothers and sisters, let us not be deceived by the enemy. And let us realize God's heart for us is good and that he loves each and every one of us. The last point I'd like to share is God manifested his love. God manifested his love. Please write that down as well. God manifested his love. Brothers, can you please share the verses? I'll start on the bottom. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life and live through him. And then in Romans chapter 5, for scarcely for a righteous man will anyone die, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God commends his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Thank you, brothers. Saints, I love this parable. I love this set of verses. You know, God shows his love for us, not just by saying, I love you, but he manifested it. He proved it. He took action to show that he loved us. And these verses in Romans 5 are very telling. Imagine there's a person who is under a death sentence. They did something wrong, and we're all watching. They're going to be executed. Well, say that person is a righteous man. Would someone come in at the last minute and say, don't let that righteous man die. I will take his place. Well, the Bible says that would scarcely happen. And perhaps if that's a good man, made one mistake, and we can say, oh, I'll take the place of that person. Well, actually, brothers and sisters, we couldn't even take the place of that person because we are all in that same death sentence. We're all in that execution line. Well, imagine the third case when there's a person who is a terrible and wicked criminal, a terrible sinner. Well, who would die for that person? Well, brothers and sisters, the verse said, even while we were yet sinners, we were enemies against God. Christ died for us. I have always been touched by this verse because I realize I'm a sinner. I'm not a righteous man. I'm not even a good man. I'm only a sinner. I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. But because God loved me, because of the great love with which he loved me, even while I was yet a sinner, he did not deserve to die. He did not need to die for me, but he died in my place. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful expression and manifestation of love. The ultimate price was paid for us, and the Lord showed the ultimate demonstration of his love by saving us, by dying for us. One more thing I'd like to mention before I turn it over to Brother Pablo is the love that God has for us is an eternal love. The Lord loved us before the foundation of the earth, after we fell, and he loved us into eternity. Jeremiah 31:3 says, indeed, I have loved you with an eternal love. The love which the love the Lord has for us is eternal. Our love may change, our love may be fickle, but his love is eternal. Hallelujah for the Lord's love towards us. God is love, God loves man, me, and God's manifested his love. But brothers and sisters, we need to go on. Just because God loves us is wonderful, but it's not enough. It's not enough just for God to love us. He needs to take care of his righteousness, because righteousness is the foundation of his throne. So Brother Pablo will share with us how God's love and how God's righteousness can be met together by the cross of Christ. Brother Pablo?
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. Okay. Hi, young people. My name is Pablo, and I'm also from Boston. And I'm so happy to be here with you all. This very special Summer School of Truth, you have to say, that so many of us here, I think it's maybe the best one yet. I've heard the brothers say that this is going to be the best one because our God is always new. Okay, so we're hearing about God's full salvation, okay? So our God has a full salvation and a complete salvation, right? So we heard this afternoon our condition. Maybe that was a hard one to swallow, but it's good. It's good to be reminded our standing as sinners and what the fall did to us, right? But hallelujah, we have a God of love, right? And his heart is to save us. God wants to save man. Every man on the earth, he wants all man to be saved. So we can never doubt God's heart for us is good. God's heart for us is always good, right? But our God's salvation is complete and it's full and it meets all his requirements, right? Even though he is love, and as much as he would like to just love us and forgive us just based on love, he can't. Why? because he is righteous. And now we're going to talk about God's righteousness. And I want you, I don't know what you think when you hear the word righteousness. Maybe you think, oh, that's too legal. That's just, you know, righteousness is has to do with judges and lawyers, and it's just too legal. But I say no. Righteousness is wonderful. And I want you today to be convinced that our salvation, just our brother David told us, has a source. And the source of our salvation is love, right? Is the source. But young people, your salvation has a foundation. Your salvation has a solid foundation. You know, when you build a house, you need a solid foundation, right? You know, many Christians, so we need to know this. You know, many Christians go their whole Christian life maybe unsure of the foundation of their salvation. They're not too sure what is the basis. And you know what that what a house without a foundation can end up looking like? This is a house that didn't have so solid of a foundation. You see, it's all coming down. When you're building a house, it's good that there's a good bedrock, right? A good foundation upon to build. So what we want in this summer school of truth is that now, maybe for the rest of our lives, we would have a solid foundation that can keep us. Okay, so this foundation is God's righteousness. And what is God's righteousness? First of all, God's righteousness is the foundation of God's throne. Okay? It's the foundation of God's throne. This is Psalm 89:14. Write that down. Psalm 89:14. It says, the brothers can maybe pull up the, I think is the next verse, or the righteousness and justice is the foundation of your throne. So God's throne is founded on righteousness, okay? And actually, God himself is righteousness. Everything he does, everything he says is righteous, right? His deeds, his words, you know, it's amazing. You know, even in his salvation, God took care of everyone's sins because he's righteous. And in Romans 3:25, we even see even sins that had previously occurred, right? It says that the sins that had previously occurred, even those he took care of. So that means the Old Testament sins. God is just righteous. He can't leave anything unrighteous because he has an enemy that can easily accuse him. If God does anything unrighteously or just based on love, his enemy would accuse and his throne would crumble. So God is righteous in everything he does, okay? This is the foundation of salvation. And another thing of what is God's righteousness? This is the second point. God's righteousness is the power of God, okay? This is Romans 1:16-17, okay? Paul says, I'll read it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the righteous, look at this word, for the righteousness of God. Why is the gospel powerful? Because the righteousness of God is revealed in it. You know, not many things, I don't know exactly how many, but not many things in the New Testament are called the power of God. But here, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God because of God's righteousness. So we need to be clear about this because there is, dear young people, an accuser, right? God has an enemy. And in Revelation 12:10, it says that he accuses us day and night, day and night. So you'll find out as we go on in our Christian life, we will fail, right? Today, this morning, this afternoon, Brother Eric told us that we're just always sinning. We're always, unfortunately, that's our situation. So there's always accusations and there's always condemnation. So what do we need? We need a judicial binding salvation that can be a steadfast basis for us to rely on, okay? So anyways, the word judicial is wonderful, right? And righteousness, because it is legal. is not, it doesn't fluctuate, right? I can say, I love someone, and then tomorrow maybe say, I don't really love them anymore. But when something is legal, if there's a legal decision granted by a judge that says David Huang is not guilty, then guess what? That stands. Regardless of how that judge feels about David. Maybe the next day the judge doesn't like David so much. But there is a judicial decision has been made. So this is the foundation of your salvation. That on the cross, the Lord made payment. He made, and here is the payment. I'm going to show you what it is. The payment for your salvation is the death of Christ, okay? The death of Christ. So the Bible says in Romans also that the wages of sin are death, right? So this afternoon, Brother Eric and the brothers told us that we, by birth, we're in that horrible family tree that ends in the lake of fire. Why? Because we inherit, because of one man sinning, we have inherited sin and the nature of Satan. So because of our sin, God required, as much as he loves us, he requires a righteous payment. Because like Eric told us, when God's righteousness meets our sin, unfortunately, they can't coexist. So there's wrath. But praise the Lord, the payment was made. There was a payment made, and that was on the cross, right? The death of Christ on the cross is the payment for our salvation. And I want to encourage you with a simple illustration. So I don't know if any of you, maybe not recently, but maybe you go shopping with your parents, maybe grocery shopping. I used to do this a lot when I was young, and back in my parents' house, I would go with my mom to Costco. You know, we make, you know, here and there you make a Costco run, and you know, sometimes we have people over, we have saints for conferences and trainings, and I remember, you know, going to the register with a big, you know, two carts sometimes, two full carts, and then we're there at the register, you know, beep. And then the register is you know, tallying up all everything that we're buying. It's quite a bit. It's like $300 sometimes when you're buying food for a week for 10 people. Anyways, so then what happens after you scan all the items? You know, mom gets her credit card out and she swipes it, right? Or maybe puts the chip in. She swipes her card. And then if mom has enough money on her credit card or her debit card, then what happens? The transaction goes through and you get what do you get? You get a receipt, right? You get a receipt. So here I have a receipt. What is a receipt? A receipt is proof of payment. It's proof of payment. And this is going to make sense in a second. You might think this is out of nowhere, but our salvation. Okay, so let me continue with the story. After you get your things in your cart, you're going out of Costco, and then the person at the door, I'm sure some of you maybe have been there, they ask to show the receipt, and you show the receipt that you rightfully own all those items because you paid for them. You paid for those items, so you can take them home. Okay, the receipt is to show payment. And young people, our salvation, the payment for our sins has a receipt. It has a proof of payment, okay? And what is the proof of payment? The receipt is Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. So let me explain the example. So when the Lord went to the cross, what Brother David said, the transaction of love and righteousness, it's like the card was swiped. He swiped the credit card. And all your sins are in the grocery bag. Oh, does Jesus have enough money on his bank account to pay for all my sins? Right? We're all wondering. Is that payment going to work? Or am I going to have to take all these sins back and put them on the shelf? So then God did not leave it just there. At the third day, God accepted the payment of Christ's death. He resurrected Christ and raised him up to the throne, right? To the right hand of his throne. So every time we need this because many times in our Christian life, I tell you, you're young. I'm also young, but you're younger. And the more you live, the more you realize, I'm going to fail. I need a solid foundation. I need to know my salvation. And many times we need to pray prayers like this. I'm going to read you a prayer that I think many of us don't pray like this. I don't pray like this, but hopefully when we're sure that our salvation has a solid basis, which is God's righteousness, we will pray like this. Listen to this prayer. God, this is from the Life Study of Romans. God, I remind you of your righteousness. Christ has died for my sins, and he is now at your right hand as proof that you have received his payment of all my debts. According to your righteousness, you have no choice except to save me. By resurrecting Christ, you indicated that you were satisfied with his payment, and you issued a receipt of payment. No matter what my condition is, God, you must forgive me. Young people, this is the boldness that we can have. As we go on in our Christian life, we can be bold to tell God, you must forgive me. So anyway, maybe the brothers can show the last verse. 1 John 1:9. I want to encourage you, remember this verse. Write this reference down. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So remember, thank you, brothers, our God is righteous. And his forgiveness, yes, he loves us, but he doesn't, and he loves us so much, but he doesn't forgive us based on his love. He forgives us based on his righteousness. And his righteousness is a solid foundation. So, to end, the same righteousness that before Christ's death on the cross required that we would be put to death, now, after Christ's payment, remember the payment of Christ, after the payment, that same righteousness now demands your forgiveness. It demands that you be forgiven. So that's our foundation. So we can be encouraged, we can be emboldened to go on and know that the Lord loves us and the Lord is righteous. And Christ's payment on the cross is good because God is satisfied. Even there is a receipt of God, of acceptance. So I hope you're encouraged, and I hope this, the rest of your life, you remember, my salvation has a foundation. God loves me, and my salvation has a solid, firm foundation. God's righteousness. This is what makes it powerful. Amen. I hope we can all be clear about these foundational truths. And even ask questions in your group. If something wasn't clear, I'm sure many can help us answer questions. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pablo. Thank you, David. That was such a wonderful message and such a wonderful speaking from God to us. Really, that was the gospel to us, right? That God loved us and that he's righteous, that he died for us. And so in that intersection, right, not only did he love us, but then he had he manifested his love by sending his son to us, by him dying on the cross for us. And finally, what? The receipt, right? The payment was swiped. He died on the cross and he resurrected. And that was a receipt that we have in our hand. And we could point to that even as every time we come to the Lord's table meeting, right? Every time we praise him for being the one on the throne, for resurrected, that is also the same receipt, right? That tells us that he has forgiven us of our sins. And yes, indeed, may this word, Lord Jesus, may this word really enter into our being and never leave it. Right, may we never, ever, ever forget of your love and your righteousness. Right, and may this really work yourself into our being, and may we be fully entered and not let Satan, you know, and his accusations and his lies, don't listen to that. But Lord, may we really, really see your love and your righteousness toward us. And may we really come to appreciate this even more. Indeed, because we many things can happen and we may fall away, but God's love is eternal and his righteousness remains. So even if we fall away, we can always come back because we have that payment. We have that receipt. Praise the Lord. How about, can we all just say that? I think that's the proper response. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. For your divine receipt.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I just appreciate that's our receipt. I heard someone say, I have my receipt. our receipt is that praise the Lord, right? We only praise ones that are living. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Maybe double confirmation over here. David and myself, we're just enjoying the motive and the basis of God's salvation. So we have some wonderful announcements. Summer School of Truth has been wonderful so far. I've been enjoying it. I hope you all have. You know what? I know you all have. Not hope. I know you all have been enjoying because everyone's still tuning in. So first of all, tonight, a wonderful update. We have a song playlist. So all the songs in our packet have been put into a music playlist that is available on our website. If you click on media, there's a whole playlist that's available through SoundCloud, but you can click there. And so in your group, if you want to sing one of the songs, maybe you can share the audio. But now you have a way to sing all the songs that are in the packet. So that's really good. I hope that you all take advantage of that. Remember to click on media. It's one of the banners up on the top, the link. And then also tomorrow, day two of recreation. Heard some wonderful reports. I know a good number signed up. Maybe you have different activities. You weren't able to make it. Well, here's your second chance. Starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow, but we would encourage you all to sign up this evening. Even if you just need to take a couple quick minutes, ask some of the ones in your group, you know, hey, what are you going to do? Would you try out the other day? Figure out what you want to do. Maybe go as a group. Who knows? And the Zoom links are going to be on the recreation time link, which is also on our website. And then another quick update, memory verse correction. There have just been some fine tuning, some adjustments that have been made to the memory verse sheet and outline, and an updated and corrected memory verse sheet is available on the website. So it should be the second link under links and resources also on our homepage. And you can start reciting your memory verses now from outlines 1 and 2. Remember, there's a 1 day delay, okay, when you can start reciting them. So, but you can start now, hallelujah. We have a couple verses already we can work on. And then who do you go to? I would actually say, go to your parents, go to your guardians, the ones you're living with first. Whether they know the verses or they don't, it's always good just to practice speaking the word of God to one another, and they can initial them and sign off. And you can report this to your serving ones in group time if you filled some out. And then you can also recite to some serving ones. So a lot of good opportunities. Just a couple more quick announcements. Family time tonight. I had a great time on Monday. I got to join one of the families, and we just had a sweet time just catching up, asking each other, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your favorite pet? I just feel like I got to know them a little more. You know, if you forgot about it, you're not sure what to do, or your parents forgot, go grab them, you know, text a serving one in here right now, be like, where do I go tonight? You know, what do I do? And then importantly, the suggestions are also on the homepage. Family time suggestions. There's some, you know, suggested icebreakers or kind of questions we can ask one another. Anyways, I really appreciate those. They've been a help. And then tomorrow morning, I'm so happy I don't have to wait till tomorrow night to see you all, but I can see you early in the morning. And the whole reason is because we want to see the Lord first thing in the morning. So at 7:45, you're welcome to tune in a little early. Serving ones, TAs, we'll get together, you know,
coming to the Lord's presence afresh at 7:45 to enjoy the word, touch him, get filled with life, fall in love with him again. And then at 9 o'clock, we're endeavoring once again, all the young people, even serving ones, you can tune in as well. And we'll just practice learning how to spend a little time with the Lord. I think the last couple of days have been really sweet and I've just been helped. And last, we have our small groups, and a reminder to the sixth graders, when you're dismissed for the evening. There's no small group arranged. So you know what you can do is you can go get with your family unless something else has been arranged, but just go spend some time with your family and make that your small group. And then the 7th through 12th graders, reminder, because of the family time, we need to end by 9:10 p.m. So serving ones, TAs, please be mindful of the time because we want to allow everyone to make it to their family time. So first of all, serving ones, you are dismissed first. And then we'll begin to dismiss you all by grades. And, you know, everyone else, all the young people that are still here, don't wait for your serving ones to start the group time. If there's something that you liked or a song you want to sing, beat them to the punch. You know, if there's something springing up, you want to talk about the receipt, you don't tell them about the receipt. Wow, that was really fresh to me. I appreciated that. Okay, let's have 7th and 12th graders go ahead and go to your groups. So we can be the first ones to share. You know, we're all young. Don't wait for the ones that are a little above us to start. I really like what Pablo said. We're all young. Some are a little younger. Okay, how about we have 9th grade and 8th grade? You can go ahead. Go ahead and be dismissed. And we have our 10th and 11th graders. Just hang on just another moment. We want to make sure our website survives. We love that so many are utilizing it. We hope it's been a good resource to you all. Okay. And maybe if you're still waiting another 10 seconds, crack open that verse memory sheet, right? Just like you're standing in line for dinner and just start reading it. You know, familiarize yourself with it, even in the waiting room. If nothing's happening for your grade, start reading over the verses. Okay, everyone else, we can be dismissed. We'll see you tomorrow morning and afternoon and evening.